Accession number 20297, Reel 1.
Jack Murdoch, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Oh, in Glasgow.
Which year was this?
1922.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Glasgow?
No, I didn't, no.
Why not?
Well, almost after I was born, my parents moved over to Argyllshire. Otter Ferry was the name of the place. That's on Loch Fyne. And then after that, we lived at a place called Millhouse near Tinnebrook. And then on 1936, we moved over to Largs in Ayrshire.
Where did you go to school mainly?
First of all, at the Otter Ferry School, then Millhouse School, and then from 1936, it was the Largs Higher Grade School. It's now an academy.
So which do you consider to be your hometown?
I consider Largs actually to be my hometown.
What did your father do for a living?
He was mainly in the forestry. It was mainly these big estates, you know.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
They had then what I think is now the 11 plus. It was a qualifying class called there, and we moved in 1936, so I missed that, and I stayed on for an extra year to do it at Largs School, and I left when I was 15.
So that would have been in 37?
Round about then, yes.
Did you get a job?
Being as it was a seaside resort, there wasn't much work there. I eventually got a job serving my time as a carpenter with a firm. But then, unfortunately, the owner closed it down and joined the Fleet Air Arm. And I worked on the Kelburn Golf Course until I was called up in January 1942.
Did you hear Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Under what circumstances did you hear that?
It would have been on the radio, I should think.
Do you remember how you felt about it?
In some ways, I felt sorry for him because he had been cheated by Hitler, really.
Did you feel any sense of dismay?
It's hard to say, really.
Did the war affect you at first?
Not at first, no.
Was there any bombing in your area?
Not in the actual area, but further up the Clyde there was bombing. The commanders were stationed in my hometown during the war.
In Largs?
Yeah, they used to raid. I think it was the Lofoten Islands off Norway, they used to raid there from my hometown.
Did you see anything of commandos round and about?
Oh, yes, yes. There was quite a few of them around there. There was one married a local girl. I think he was Captain Patrick Scott or something. I think he was related some way to the royal family. They said he was anyway. I think that was probably true.
Were any of them billeted on families near you?
Not actually near, because I was about just on the outskirts of the town, and the beginning of the Brisbane Glen. That's anything to do with this. Brisbane Glen, that's where Brisbane, Australia got its name from. Sir Thomas McDougall, Brisbane.
And how did the commandos behave in the Largs area?
I never heard anything, and I think they were pretty, of course, discipline was pretty strict in these days anyway. I never heard any complaints.
Were they welcome in the town or not?
Oh, I think so, yes. Yeah.
Did people know who they were? What unit they were?
I actually forget the number. There was two different lots of commanders. I forget which number they were.
And did the war have no effect on Largs then at that time, apart from the presence of commando?
I don't think so. They used to be bombing further up the Clyde, but they used to reckon that they used to follow the Clyde up, you know, the Greenock and Fort Glasgow and these places.
Could you see the bombing of Clydeside from where you were?
Not from where I was, no. Because where I lived is actually on the foot of Clyde.
Can you tell me about joining up, please?
I got my calling up papers when I was 19, and I was told to report to Comrie in Perthshire on the 15th of January, 42. We didn't go to a barracks. We were kept as a separate company. For training, they called us I Company. That's whether that was for intake or something. And we done a full training, and then after that, we were dispersed among the companies in the actual battalion. We covered most of the north with different places: Stonehaven, Peterhead, Aviemore. We did our modern warfare training, and that was, we had Norwegian instructors for the skiing, you know. And in my platoon, we had a Norwegian officer.
How did the people in charge of the training treat the recruits?
Pretty fair, as I can remember. I had my platoon corporal in training was then my platoon sergeant when we went abroad. Unfortunately, he was killed at Walken. Sergeant Patterson. So I was fairly lucky having the same chap right through.
We haven't said the name of the regiment you were with yet.
Oh, that was the 6th Battalion, the Cameronian Scottish Rifles.
Had you wanted to be in that regiment?
I didn't mind at all. I don't think I'd have joined up originally, but I don't regret it now. I enjoyed the time in it. And anyway, I accept discipline, so it didn't affect me.
Were the Cameronians your local regiment?
No, my local regiment would have been the Royal Scots Fusiliers, because the Cameronians were a Lanarkshire regiment. But then we had a good mix. We had people from London, Leeds, Middlesbrough, Liverpool. I think that's better than having them all from one town. You had a good mix and you had good spirit, you know. Army language, a good mucking in spirit.
Were you able to cope with the things that were expected of you in the training?
Yeah, I never found any problem to any of it.
And how long were you a comrade for? Or were there any incidents that happened to you at comrade?
No, I don't think so.
What happened after this?
We sort of moved around a bit. We were stationed in Stonehaven for a bit. We were in Peterhead for a period. Then Aviemore, and then we were stationed in Creef, that's in Perthshire again. And then eventually we moved south to near Worsop, Norton Camp it was called. And from there we moved, I'm not sure if it was Fareham, we never really knew where it was before we sailed for Ostend.
And what, do you remember which company or platoon and platoon you were in at this time?
I was in A Company. I've forgotten the platoon, to tell you the truth.
Do you remember the people who were in charge of you?
Yeah, well, we had the Norwegian officer, and we always called him Mr. Underhill, but I think probably they pronounce it Hog. It's a U-G, I think. We only knew him as Mr. Underhill. He was a very tall man. He was badly wounded, seemingly during the war. But I think he's since died, probably from his wounds, you know.
What rank did he have at that time?
He was, I don't know what he ended up, but he was a lieutenant.
So was he a company commander?
No, platoon commander, yeah.
Had you had any landing craft experience before you went abroad?
Yes, we done that training at Inverary in Scotland, the same training as the commanders, you know, landing craft. We did the full training, yeah. I forgot that bit.
Were there any problems in using the landing craft in the training?
We didn't have any problems. Unfortunately, one of the Marines who manned them, they handled from the ramp, caught one of them, and he had a nasty accident. I always remember that.
To his forehead?
Yes. I think it was when the ramp fell down at the thing, or something happened.
So you said you were at Fareham, waiting to go across the channel?
Yeah, we went from Southampton. We didn't know where it was. We were just in, it was a camp, it was all barbed wired off, and I have a feeling that it was Fareham, around about there somewhere. We didn't, at that time, we didn't really know where we were.
Did you get any kind of briefing at Fareham?
No, we had to more or less be on standby all the time, because we didn't know, just at a moment's notice, we'd be told we'd have to move.
What happened next?
I think we sailed during the night and arrived in Ostend in the morning, the next morning. I can't remember the date. I think it was probably the October 44. And then we eventually went up. We stopped in a place called Alsna in Belgium.
What were conditions like there?
Wasn't too bad, you know. It was, by that time, it was, you know, fairly quiet.
Where were you living there?
We were stationed. We were in civilian houses, most of us, until we moved.
What did the attitude of the Belgians seem to be towards you?
It seemed to be all right at that time, you know. There didn't seem to be any problems or any. They were probably pleased to see us there, I should think.
Where did you move to?
This is when we started the Wolken and South Beveland move. That was originally to free the port of Antwerp to get the supplies in.
Did you go into operations?
Yes, we crossed, I think it was the Slough they called it, and it was buffaloes, you know, they were sort of amphibious vehicles, tracked vehicles. And it just sort of moved on from then. And eventually, that the end of that year, we were on the Dutch-German border at, I think it was Schinveld, the place was called, Gallenkirchen, I think it was on the border.
Had you done much fighting up till then?
It was pretty heavy. Up until then, it was quite heavy. There was one of the battles, we almost lost a complete sea company. But the German King Tiger, you know, with the self-propelled guns on them, and wiped the full almost sea company out, officers, everything. And then so many of us were taken from A Company, and then they brought in reinforcements to make up a new C Company. I was one of them. And then we were eventually, by that time, on the Rhine, sort of holding the Rhine, waiting for the Arnhem thing and for the Rhine crossing.
What kind of relationship did you have with the Dutch?
Very good. And in fact, the Dutch underground movement was very good. We used to get warned that there would be one, you know, they gave us a name, would be coming back through the lines at night, so be careful, obviously, not to shoot him. They seemed to be pretty good at that, as far as I know at that time.
What were your living conditions like in the Netherlands?
Well, that was more or less trenches and what have you, you know. We used to get a break down from the Gallenkirchen, from the border, down into this village, Schinveld. We were more or less sort of stationed with civilians there, who were always very good. Although they didn't have much themselves, they always sort of shared what they had with us.
What was the standard of health of the troops there?
Very good, because the mountain warfare stood us in good stead, I think, you know, because they were all very fit.
And what rank did you have at that time?
I think I was just a rifleman at that time. Yes, yeah, that's right.
What do you remember happening next?
I think it was on the spring of that year, the next move was into Germany, and I've forgotten the names of most of the places after the border. I think there was Sittard and Alpen and a lot of these places. Then eventually we got to Verden, and then from Verden to Bremen. That was more or less the end of the fighting for us. Then we went to San Bostel after that.
And did you have to cross the Rhine?
We were actually on the Rhine, holding the Rhine, and the commanders went over during the night, and then we followed after that the next day. I think it was a place called Zankten or something where we crossed.
Was there German resistance when you crossed?
No, because the commanders and the other ones had already gone. I forget which regiments they were. They had already crossed over, you see.
As you went through Germany, what was the attitude of German civilians toward you?
I don't remember anything at all, really. They seemed to be fairly reasonable.
Were you wounded or injured at all?
No. Fortunately not.
Did you have any narrow escapes?
Some, I think, but not anything particular I remember.
How much firing were you doing?
Oh, quite a lot in each attack. There was quite a lot of firing, yeah.
What weapon would you be using?
one period a rifle, then another period a Sten gun, and another period I had a 2-inch mortar as well. That was mainly for infantry.
What job did you have on the mortar?
I was the number one on that.
What did that involve?
There was number one and number two on it. It was only a small thing.
What did the job of number one involve?
Actually, the actual setting the range and the actual firing of it. The number two was more or less just a helper, and, you know, for carrying the mortar bombs and things.
What about German incoming fire? What did that consist of?
We had quite a lot of that. The German, their 88 millimetres were very, very accurate. And then they used to fire air bursts so that the shells actually burst in the air and the shrapnel spread. And most of their tanks were equipped with that as well, the 88 millimetre.
Did many of your comrades get injured?
We had quite a lot lost and wounded, unfortunately. I've forgotten all the names at the moment.
What was morale like in the company?
Pretty good, right through. I mean, obviously you're great losing your friends, but in the middle of this, you've got to keep going.
Were some companies better than others?
I think they were pretty well all on a par, you know. Yeah, I think they all did what they were asked.
What did you think of the officers and NCOs?
We were very fortunate. We had very good officers. Most of them had been with the regiment quite some. We had some young officers, but on the whole, most of them had been with the regiment for quite some time.
Was there a sergeant in control of you?
Yes, that was the original one. He was killed, our original sergeant.
Do you remember him?
Yes, that was Sergeant Patterson.
Do you remember how he was killed?
It was a pillbox, and we really couldn't get at it, and unfortunately, he sort of went to try and of course, he was in the open, and he was killed by machine gun fire.
Could you see that yourself?
I didn't actually, because there was a sort of mound in front of where we were. And in fact, we didn't realise at first he had been killed until it was one of the stretcher bearers told us that Sergeant Patterson had been killed.
Was that in Germany or Holland or where?
That was in Walcheren, if I can remember right. You know, the South Walcheren, South Beveland part.
Going back to Walcheren, did you actually land on Walcheren during the attack on Walcheren?
Yeah, that was what was mainly the slow Walcheren, South Beveland, and then we went to Flushing. That was the town that was flooded because they'd breached the dikes. The Germans actually had done that and flooded the town. And we just sort of moved on from there.
What did you think of the German enemy you were fighting against?
I think a lot of them, more so after the war, I found a lot of them were just the same as us. I mean, we know there was a bad element, but the ordinary chap had just been called up the same as we had. And after the war, we were involved with a lot of them, and you know, they were quite decent people in the end.
Did you feel any hatred towards the Germans?
Not really, no. I don't know what feelings I had during the war or that, but it was just as you had a job to do, and that was it.
Did you ever get leave whilst you were on the continent?
Not during the war, no. After the war finished.
Were you able to keep in contact with home?
Yeah, I used to write fairly regular. And After the war, it was normal. And during the war, you had these cards because giving away any secrets, you could only put on there very little on them, you know, just to more or less let your parents know you were still there.
And can you tell me about going into into Bremen, what that was like?
That was early morning. It must have been from the artillery, Sean. There was quite a lot of fires and quite a bit of resistance there. It wasn't too drastic.
What kind of ages were the Germans who were resisting you?
I'm not very sure. I should think they were sort of roughly our own ages.
Did you see German prisoners or take German prisoners?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did on and off see them, yes.
What was their attitude? Was it defiant or not?
No, I never seemed to have any problems, you know. I suppose they had, well, like us, they accepted discipline. And we did, like German wounded, we treated them just the same as we treat our own people.
Was Bremen much damaged?
I think it probably was. I know they had shelled it, and I think it may have been bombed as well. I'm not sure about that, but I think it probably had been bombed. Although we didn't have much free time there, you know, to sort of see what the rest of it was like.
Did it surprise you that the Germans were still resisting at that late stage?
We used to find out that, I don't know how they had contacts, whether that was the underground. Often, before we attacked a town or a village, they used to try and get them to surrender first. And we found out that mainly the normal soldier, they would have given up. But there were people like the SS who didn't allow them to, which meant that then the town would be shelled by our people. If they had given in, then it wouldn't have been shelled, see?
What do you remember happening next?
I don't.
Because you said you were up to going into Bremen.
Yes. After that, we more or less moved on straight away to Sandbostel. We didn't have much time in the town.
What happened at Sandbostel?
That was Stalag 10B. They said it was a prisoner of war camp, and I think a lot of it was more political prisoners. And we had to sort of clear that up.
What condition were the prisoners in?
Some of them were in a terrible state. Yeah, and
in what sense?
A lot of them were already dead and nothing had ever been done about them. And the ones that were still alive looked as if they'd been starved.
What were they dressed in? What was their clothing like?
It's hard to say. They didn't seem to be in uniforms. That's why I think most of them were probably civilians or political prisoners.
Were you able to do anything for them?
Our medical people, they were, I didn't actually see that bit of it, but we had medical people there and they had these machines, you know, that used to use some sort of powder for delousing and all that because of that sort of thing. But what they used to go down into the, I don't know, it was a town or a village, and they used to round up people there for to clear this mess up.
You mean civilians?
Yeah, the army rounded them up. I think it just to anybody they could find.
What kind of clearing were they doing?